With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, welcome to our bonus content for Back to the Frame Rate, where we just go over some of things that we've been watching and things we want to watch. This is where we put our movie musings now. And we're going to begin right now with just talking about what we've watched over the past week. Ellie, you and me have seen a lot this past week. You know what I want to try? Might be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Let's go back and forth a little bit and on a few things. And maybe we don't hit up all of these because there's a lot here. But and Sam, you can like chime in on anything here you want to and try to annoy us. Okay. All right.
But I want to be part of it too. Okay. I watch movies as well.
But first thing I want to do, Sam, you've been gone the last couple of weeks. What have you been doing?
Gone
you've been a strange stranger. We've had to fill in with these other people and you know, they just haven't been you.
I've been building walls around myself and keeping the riffraff out. No, I'm just kidding.
Don't blame you, man.
I was traveling for my YouTube travel adventure show called Walks of World. I was mostly in Canada. I was on Vancouver Island for Thanksgiving onward. Lots and lots of like hiking. Did a lot of episodes there. There's a large portion of the island is like temperate rainforest, so it's beautiful. And really, really, really long walks. I tend to just film and film and film and film, and then I edit down and kind of like create the narrative of the episode afterwards. But it was a spectacular location. I actually went to Victoria, which is where which is the capital of British Columbia, which is on Vancouver Island, and their government parliament building was all like lit up with these Christmas lights. It would look like something out of an epic like James Bond film. It just was amazing. Wow. So that was what I was doing. We just discussed the holdovers. I actually saw that on Vancouver Island at like the worst movie theater in Nanaimo. And it was one of those theaters where I was worried that they had forgotten to like start the projector. And I was about to go outside and tell them like, hey, I'm here. I actually had the whole movie theater to myself watching that. But then it's finally started and the trailer started and the sound and picture quality was really, really good. So I take back what I say about the movie theater, but all signs aside from the movie pointed to it being a bad theater, but it turned out to be great. But that was what I was up to. Yeah, I mean, that took a while. Lots of traveling, hiking in the woods, all for building up episodes for that show because I try to keep it to be a weekly show, and I was running out of episodes. So basically, in the past several weeks, I filmed a block that's literally going to be like 2 months of episodes. That's how I do it. I'll do a block every once in a while.
Was there a lot of driving for this whole thing?
Yeah, probably maybe 3,700 miles.
Wow.
So it was there's lots of driving, but I go out and get in a weird autopilot with driving where I'm really good at it, very focused. So I can just go these enormous lengths and it doesn't feel like anything. It just feels normal. So I'm not sure what that's all about, but yeah.
What do you listen to in the car when you're driving?
Actually, I did listen to the Back to the Frame Rate podcast, specifically the episode with Paul Kandarian, because I wanted to hear his thoughts. And
you
I loved
say.
And I loved his response. But I do also listen to like Sirius XM radio, the news. Like I'll listen to like CNN or also Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend podcast. I love that. And
so you don't listen to music?
I do listen to music. I listen to music a lot. I oscillate. I switch back and forth. It depends on the mood that I'm in. Sometimes when you've been listening to music for hours, you're tired of hearing melody and you just want to hear like dry chatter. So I'll just listen to a business show on MSNBC.
Never, Sam. Never.
I'm that always going never back and forth between music and podcasts. I'm back and forth.
I listen to a podcast, I would fall asleep driving.
I disagree. Like if it's information, it's engaging. Nobody could ever fall asleep listening to us.
I can. Not to us. Yeah. Not to us. To us, it's a totally different podcast. You'd be quite wide awake.
I actually feel really relaxed. Like for some reason, when I'm driving, I can almost focus on listening to a podcast more than if I'm just like sitting there listening to it. There's like distractions, but just the endless road. I love it.
I have my own party when I drive, so I have to have music, and it has to be loud, and it has to be dense music.
So the spike in downloads in Canada was all you?
That was totally me. Did that actually show up?
There's a few extra.
Yeah, that was all me. That was me in my car. Or maybe other people listen because I like mentioned the show at restaurants and stuff. I'm like, back to the frame rate is pretty good. I actually do that. So,
excuse me.
I'm in a weird position where I'm like home for Christmas break, and there are friends that I want to connect and reach out to. But at the same time, if I do that, it'll show that I'm not busy. And it will look like I'm needy. I'd rather just have them see my Instagram post and see me traveling. They'd be like, "Oh, he's too cool to talk to us." So I'm afraid to breach that, because if I reach out to anyone, it makes me look desperate. So it might be a very quiet Christmas, but we'll see what happens. I can't believe I just said that. It's not true. It's not true. It kind of is, but it's not.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about what we've been watching. Elliot, we're going to go back and forth. Now let's just see how this works out. I'm going to start with you. Tell me something that you've watched in the last week.
I'll start with The Silencing. It's a 2020 film. Director is Robin Pront, and it's playing on Netflix. And there's a lot of familiar faces the girl, one of the actors is from Peaky Blinders, another actor, the main character in the film, he's from that HBO show. What's his name? Nicolas Coster. He was in...
Game of Thrones.
Yes, Game of Thrones. He's the main character, and it's about this guy who, Nicolas, he is basically a father who's lost his teenage girl to a serial killer, and who happens to actually work with the police department. And it's dark, but it's rewarding at the same time watching Nicolas find a man, hunt him down, and basically the best part of the movie for me is when the cop is right next to him and says, let me have him suffer like he made my daughter suffer. And he basically does. He throws him into this pit, and the cop couldn't say anything anymore. She just do it. And that was so rewarding. That's a good just fun film to watch. Just if there's nothing else out there, it popped on my screen, so I watched it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Is that how you typically do? You like get something recommended and you're like, I'm just going to watch that?
So not really. I'm a fan of Netflix. A lot of people don't like Netflix. But I find Netflix is organized for me. Mm-hmm. And as opposed to like Prime or HBO that I have to, I don't know how they... To me, they seem disorganized. But Netflix, I go down, I search for a movie. No, they basically, I just look for movies that catch my attention. So it's not that they really popped on my radar.
Just gets you, or the algorithms know you.
Yeah, I think that I like Netflix. Netflix tends to vibe with me. It's like,
right?
Because I know what you mean. Like Ellie, do you ever find that if you go on like another streaming service that it's like a movie that's like just outside of the fringe of quite what you want, whereas Netflix will be like, it hits the mark, and it's like
so does. Yeah. And yeah. I know that people say, oh, Netflix. But it gets me. Netflix gets me. That's why I continue to pay for Netflix, because I love it. I think I watch more Netflix than I do anything else. And I think the movies that I do watch in Prime is those that I actually rent. But yeah, because Netflix, you can't rent, right?
Have been for really liking Apple TV Plus. I think because when we were doing like noir stuff, that was on, I just had forgotten the password or like to some of my other streaming services. Apple was the one that I knew how to get into easily. And you can actually like rent a lot of movies. And then I found, even though Star Trek is on like Paramount Plus, you can rent entire seasons of Deep Space Nine and other some Star Trek stuff, and I've just been watching that show, and I just like.
And don't get me started on Hulu, because Hulu is another one. I'm just like,
Hulu to me is way out there. Like if you're looking for something, if you want a line of sight to a good show, Hulu is like, let's go this way.
I go to Hulu and all I get is like the Kardashians. I'm like, I don't want to watch the Kardashians. Okay. I don't. So yeah. So Netflix is my to go place. And I basically just go down the list. And if something pops up in my eyes that I'm attracted to it, I watch. Okay. And that's how Silencing came through.
I feel bad ragging on Hulu, but Hulu will always find titles related to, but it will never find you the one that you want. So if you're like, I would like to watch a Jason Bourne movie, they'll be like, oh, did you mean like Jason Sudeikis fights a bat? And it's like, no, that's not what I meant.
Wow. What about you, Nathan?
All right. You know what? Earlier this week, I'm going to get into a little bit of the internal strife that happened this week when we were trying to figure out what to watch this week. Before we settled on the holdovers, there was a time where we didn't know what we were going to watch, and we almost started to watch Violent Night. And the movie piqued my curiosity still, and just in case we ended up watching this for some reason, I figured I'm going to watch this anyways. I'm kind of glad we didn't review this for the show.
You know, I actually had nothing against it. I just held out for the sake of holding out, and I wanted to test my like holding outness. I'm like, well, I've taken it this far, I might as well keep going. And I was like, wait, I can't believe I'm doing this, but I did it.
Yeah. Is it that bad, Nathan?
No. Well, here's the thing. First of all, this is directed by Tommy Wirkola. It stars David Harbour, who I do like.
I like him a lot. Yeah, he's great. Yeah.
People know him from what's the Netflix show? I'm blanking on. Help me.
Stranger Things.
He was just in Gran Turismo. John Leguizamo's in this. Alex Hassel and Beverly D'Angelo, who I didn't even recognize in this. I didn't even know until after I came home. Oh, that was Beverly D'Angelo playing like the grandmother. Anyways. You know, I felt this film should, this should not have been a feature length film. This to me was like a Funny or Die sketch, or you know what it felt like to me? One of those fake trailers that was part of the Robert Rodriguez or Quentin Tarantino's Grindhouse.
Oh,
that's what this should have been.
Okay.
But this was not like one of those Grindhouse, type of horror things. This was a polished kind of action movie. But I think this movie could have been better if we went toward like horror, gore, kind of like ugly type of thing like that, like Machete. I wanted the Machete version of this with the same cast.
Did it have a sheen to it? Was it kind of like bloodless? I mean, what I mean? Like, was it kind of like slick?
That's what I felt like it was. I wanted the Grindhouse 82-minute version of this movie. Mm-hmm. Not that's what this needed to be. Filthy, dirty, grotesque, not this polished, trying to be kind of funny with like one-liners. So that's my thing. Obviously, if you've seen this is just trying to throw in as many diehard references as possible, even invoking references to Die Hard 2 in this movie. I hated everybody in this movie, the family, both parents, the grandmother. There's no adult that deserves to live in this movie. I mean, maybe the wife, well, I guess. But I didn't hate this movie. I just wish it was a different movie. That's all I can say.
Yeah. Oh, you just reminded me. I actually, and this got this, I did not see the whole thing. This got a 6% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's a Ben Affleck movie from 2004. I wish I should remember the title, but he is a corporate executive and he has no close relationships. He feels very isolated. And so I thought, oh, the guy focused on his career. He feels isolated. I'm like, I might watch this movie. I can relate to this a little bit at the moment. And but he goes to his childhood home and it's owned by different people. But he's this rich businessman, so he pays them.
I know that movie. I just watched it like last year, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And like it's so not.
Did so much trash in the early 2000s.
Yeah. But so he pays these people like $250,000 to pretend that they're his son and he wants to sleep in his childhood room. So it's like an interesting premise, but it's kind of flat. But I was sort of entertained by it because at the beginning, I really liked the opening scene. And then I was disappointed afterward because he's like, he's got this huge empty apartment. This gigantic apartment in New York with like no furniture. So it's like a visual reference that he's got, that he's like emotionally hollow. His girlfriend comes in and she breaks up with him because he wants to.
Is this a holiday movie?
It is.
Yes.
And he wants Christmas.
That's it. I think that's it. I think that's it. And he like
surviving Christmas.
Yeah. And he wants to take her to Fiji on Christmas Day. She's like, but I want to spend Christmas with my family. He's like, family, I got a first class ticket to Fiji. And then she breaks up with him because he's like totally soulless. And I actually felt promised, but then the movie got too kind of ridiculous. So I actually switched over to the Santa Clauses on Disney Plus, which I actually really enjoyed. It's like very light. It's like just eating candy, but like Tim Allen is Santa Claus and he's retiring and he needs to find a replacement Santa Claus. Because
this is bad.
It's not good.
It lost the Golden Raspberry to Catwoman that year.
Oof.
Yeah.
I have not seen Catwoman. I can't hate on it. I just know it's disliked, but I never saw it.
I don't think Catwoman is as bad as people say it is. It is not good, but I think people just hate it for the sake of having to hate something. It's not great. It's not good, but it's I've seen far worse.
Yeah. Far
worse. Anyways, that's Violent Night. But it's been greenlit for a sequel. I'm not surprised.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Really going to go with that.
It's not terrible. It's not terrible. It's not bad. And I can see where people really like this. And I don't begrudge anybody from liking this. And I actually probably gave it like 3 stars because it is completely serviceable and there's some fun stuff in it. I just wanted it. After it was all over, I felt like it was too long. I just wanted it to be a different movie. Mm. That's all I'm saying. Anyways.
Okay. I hear that. I've been trying to watch like kind of holiday stuff because I've been sort of not, I wouldn't say forcing it on myself, but I've been trying to feel like the holiday spirit. That's why I was like, I'll give this a chance. And the Santa Claus is I actually watched most of season one. I will watch season two because it's actually one.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Reviewer hit it on the just hit the nail on the board or whatever the phrase is, saying it's really not high quality, like it's not good, but it's very entertaining, and I found myself really enjoying it. Okay. It's just fun. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Tell me something else you want to talk about.
So I actually just watched the film Leave the World Behind.
That's
2023.
Julia Roberts, and that's a huge cast. Giant cast.
Yeah, it's giant cast. Julia Roberts.
Great reviews there. But tell me, what did you think?
So Sam Esmail is the director and writer and produced by the Obamas, obviously. Executive produced by the Obamas. But so for me, the film actually, I know it's not getting great reviews, but for me, what I actually liked it. I liked the film. I didn't like, oh, it's a great film. It's not. But I think there were parts in the film that kind of made me feel scared. And I don't mean like watching a terror or a horror film, but just scared about life in general. Like, this could truly happen to us. And, you know, obviously we're not exempt from having a cyber attack or somebody coming. You know, imagine all of our internet goes down, the satellite gets hacked. We have blackout. The blackout happened in New Jersey a few years back, right? And New York. So we'll have a blackout, nothing to connect us, no TV. We wouldn't know what's going on because we're like totally gone. Everything's gone. We wouldn't know what hit us. And where so many people hate America, it's like, this could really happen, you know? You never know. And there were parts where it really scared me, especially like there's a part in the movie where, I don't want to say too much in case people want to see it, but there's a part in the movie that is so true to what's going on right now that we're so out of tune with reality, and we live in this social media internet ways now that we don't even know what's going on outside our doors because we're so invested in what's going on in Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or just watching films, streaming movies, right? Watching shows. And then at the very end of the movie, it ends with the little girl. There's chaos going around, but this little girl is just by herself sitting in this big mansion and decides to watch Friends. One of the episodes from Friends. And what do you know? Friends, Julia Roberts dated Matt. Maddie that just passed away and was also in one of the episodes in Friends. It's just, for me, while it's not the greatest movie out there, what I did like is that they touch some points that kind of makes you think, like, this could happen at any point. Why am I so busy being on TikTok or doing other things? You know, like, focus on things that matter right now, because you never know when it's gonna hit you. And then obviously Kevin, is it Kevin Bacon?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. He's a prepper, and he's raw. I just think he's funny in this. I found him funny, but I don't know why, but he's being a prepper, and Ethan Hawke comes to want some medicine for his son that's suffering from some kind of like illness, and he doesn't want to give out his prepping and every man for himself. And I've told Carlos many times, shit.
Oh my God. When
the shit hits the fan. When the shit hits the fan, like, people are not going to be kind. Don't even think of it. They're not going to want to feed you. They're not going to want to share water. They're going to be for themselves. And surely enough, this movie shows it with Kevin Bacon being like, no, man, I've been prepping. This is my share. This is for my family. I don't care what happens to your family. And I feel like there's going to be people like that in an apocalyptic momentum, but there's also eventually going to be like people that are going to be nice, mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, dumb.
Stuff like that is terrifyingly realistic, you know?
Yeah.
Like, all the power goes out, people looting in stores and I mean, all that would actually happen. And there's the good side of humanity, but there's it's, I would say it's like you hope for the best with people, but you also, it's kind of sort of prepare for the, you know, so it's challenging, you know,
it is. So it was a scary film for me in a sense that this could happen. And the fact that the Obamas are executive directors makes me think, like, what do they know?
I would be, I would feel the pressure if I was directing that and like President Obama and the First Lady were the executive producers, and he'd be like, now, Sam, I think you're going a little over budget and we need to talk about this. I'd be like, yes, sir, I'm sorry, sir. I'm so sorry, sir. I'll do my best. Yes, Mr. President. Like,
forget that. But what about the fact that why is this film being made now? Mm. I mean, I what does Obama know that we don't know that he knows and is putting it into a film? Because as we all know, film resembles life or life resembles film, right? Mm-hmm. So.
Exactly, yeah.
I think the thing with like, and this is like way over the top philosophical, but it's because it's the holidays. I think it's important to, you say about, you know, it's important to, you know, spend time with people you love and this and that and just sort of be a good person. I think I will personally say that, well, I will get frustrated sometimes because I'm a very demonstrative person. I can explain things well, and I have lots of really nice people in my life that aren't as good at communicating. So they kind of depend on me to be the one to sort of reach out. You know what I mean? Mm. Whereas sometimes I want to sit back and be like, you know what? You guys do the work, but that's not the, you know, the holiday spirit. So that's just a little non sequitur there. That's what I was sort of circling back to earlier, but all positive stuff. I just, you know, it's because I'm good at communicating. That's what it is.
So yeah, it's a good, I mean, it's an okay movie for me. It's not the greatest movie, but if you have nothing else to watch, just check it out. You might hate it. Some hate it, some like it. Yeah.
Okay. Something else that I have watched this week. Let me think here. I want to mention something, a piece of news as well, as ties into something I watched a few days ago. Ryan O'Neal passed away.
Oh, yeah.
At 82.
He's the Love Story guy, right?
Yeah. I have not seen Love Story, which is a blind spot. I know.
Oh, my God. I'm going to strangle you.
I've not seen Love
Story.
I've not seen Love Story. I felt kind of sad, you know, that's a major blind spot for me. I'm ashamed to admit that. And there's actually a couple films, several films of Ryan O'Neal. You know, Ryan O'Neal was one of the quintessential leading men of the 1970s.
So handsome.
Excuse me. Handsome. Oh, my God. The guy was a looker. Absolutely. But not just Love Story. I have not seen What's Up, Doc, where he was another big movie was in, Nickelodeon, A Bridge Too Far. And here's a crime that I have to mention as well. I have actually not seen Barry Lyndon either.
All right. You know what? I won't waste time being annoyed, but Nathan, no joke, I think you might love that movie. That's one of my favorite Stanley Kubrick movies. I actually had no desire to see that film. I think it's a masterpiece. It might be my favorite Stanley Kubrick film.
So what do I do when I hear about the sad passing of Ryan O'Neal? By the way, Ryan O'Neal, he got into some major trouble in the last 7-8 years. You know, he's gone to jail. He's had a lot of problems. He's been tabloid fodder for a long time, but that's not where we're here. We're not going to talk about that, but so I wanted to just kind of like honor him by seeing something that I've never seen before. Of course, I mentioned all these movies that I could have watched, but you know what I actually have in my collection that I've never seen? Can I have a copy on DVD from 1978, The Driver. Never saw this movie, but I have a copy of it. So I got this about 10 years ago, probably got it from a bargain bin, and I purchased this a while ago. I never watched it. So The Driver, you know, this is a film from Walter Hill, stars Ryan O'Neal as a getaway driver. And, you know, this was an incredible film. And basically he's hired to, you know, he does jobs as a driver to help bad guys escape from authorities, because that's what he does. He's the best at it. Does this sound kind of familiar? You know, maybe the movie Drive from 2011, starring Ryan Gosling, from Nicholas Winding Refn, 100% uses this film as a template. The plot of the film the part of this film, the driver, is a little convoluted, and the performances, I'd say, are kind of wooden. But if you're watching this film, you're watching this movie for some gnarly car chases, stunt driving, and crashes. This movie has all that in spades. This is an excellent film when it comes to that, the technical side of this. You can, you know, I mean, this is one of the best of the decade. I'm talking like French Connection, Bullet, Gone in 60 Seconds level stunt driving, all taking place in this movie, all happening in downtown Los Angeles.
I'm going to have to watch this film. I haven't seen it.
This is not a great film. I wouldn't even call this a B movie. This was a high, big budget movie. It flopped at the box office, but it was entertaining. I'd say that. But it doesn't really all add up too much in the end, but I would say the character that Ryan O'Neal plays on this, and he's just called the driver, doesn't have any other character name, absolutely is, you could see from how they took that character and they got the Ryan Gosling character in the movie Driver. It is a direct line in this plot. It is not a remake, but oh my God, it is like, it's very similar. But yeah, I had a lot of fun with this. This is the kind of movie where you can really just like smell the gasoline and the burnt rubber by watching
it. I love it.
Love car chase movies, so yeah.
It was fun for that. So that's what I watched. Especially, it is not available anywhere. Like, it's not streaming anywhere. It's not on video on demand. I just know that like I've had this DVD for a while. You can buy a DVD. You know, you can go on Amazon, shop for it and buy DVDs and Blu-rays and stuff like that. So you can get it that way, but it's not streaming or on video on demand anywhere. But
just Nathan, off the air, you're going to have to text me your address because I'm going to contact Santa's workshop and have them send a copy of Barry Lyndon to your house. Because you have got to see that, for the love of God.
I know. I feel like I'm ashamed to even mention that to the world.
You know, I saw it really late. I only saw it in the past 4 years, and I was like, I was avoiding it because I thought I would find it dull, and it's like my favorite Stanley Kubrick movie.
Here I am as a cinephile running a podcast, and I haven't seen Barry Lyndon, and it's like, my podcasting card should be revoked. I know.
No. There's always a chance of redemption.
There is.
I just want to throw in, because of Apple TV, TV Plus, I've actually been watching a show that I love, Star Trek Deep Space Nine. And one thing that's great about it is it came out about a year after Star Trek The Next Generation, which came out in the 90s. And a lot of people perceived it as the quote unquote boring Star Trek show because all the other ones take place on a ship that's exploring and going around. This is a deep space station, and it's about life on this place. But no, in all seriousness, I can't joke about it. I think it's one of the best shows ever, and I think it has a slight edge on Star Trek The Next Generation. I actually think it's better than it. My top three favorite shows would be the Star Trek The Next Generation, Halt and Catch Fire on AMC with Lee Pace, and Star Trek Deep Space Nine has this incredibly labyrinthian, amazing, dense plot about warfare and intrigue, and there's this wormhole to another part of a galaxy. There's this evil on the other side of it. There's these aliens that live in the wormhole. There's all this political stuff. It is the greatest, most underrated show, and if one person listens to me and watches that show, then I've done my job and can like drop the mic and like just walk away forever. But for the love of all that is glorious, Star Trek Deep Space Nine is incredible. I met the whole cast. Amazing show. I would make a whole podcast about it, just talking about it. It's just unbelievable.
All right. You sold me, Sam. I'll see. I have to get Paramount Plus, though. That's the one service I don't have.
If you give it a chance, if you can get past the you know, it's 1990, so it's not going to have the snazzy CGI razzle dazzle, but the plot and the stories are so good. A friend of mine actually convinced me to watch it, and I said, no, I'm not that interested. And he actually, this is back in like 2008. He was inventorying the show for himself, and he was making like DVD copies of it. So he would send me through the mail disc after disc after disc of every single episode. And I went, all right, I'll watch it. And I did. And I loved it so much. I'm like, you're three episodes behind. Where's the new one? Damn it. You know, he's like, man, production line is slow. I'm sorry, Sam, but it's incredible.
Yeah. All right. Ellie, anything else you?
I just yesterday I watched the new film by A24, Talk to Me.
This is where projects come to life. Our showrooms are designed to inspire with the latest products from top brands, curated in an inviting, hands-on environment, and a team of industry experts to support your project. We'll be there to make sure everything goes as planned, from product selection to delivery coordination. At Ferguson Bath Kitchen and Lighting Gallery, your project is our priority.
Schedule your showroom consultation and see more from brands like Monogram at build.com/Ferguson.
This is where projects come to life. Our showrooms are designed to inspire with the latest products from top brands, curated in an inviting, hands-on environment and a team of industry experts to support your project. We'll be there to make sure everything goes as planned, from product selection to delivery coordination. At Ferguson Bath Kitchen and Lighting Gallery, your project is our priority.
Schedule your showroom consultation and see more from brands like Monogram at build.com/Ferguson.
It's a horror, horror film. Did you guys hear about that?
I saw it, yeah.
I haven't seen it.
What'd you think of it?
I thought it was good. I was positive on it. I think it's a strong year for horror. So it is. Yeah.
And I thought at moments I got like goosebumps, especially when they see the dead people in front of them. So basically it's a group of friends start to conjure spirits using a wooden hand or some kind of
A mummified hand, right?
A mummified hand, and they become so hooked on this, so they make parties just to conjure the spirits. It's almost like the Ouija board when you kids will play around and conjure spirits. So in this film, they use this hand that's like embalmed in or something, and they hold on to it, and it says, and they just call the spirit by saying,
"Let me in."
Talk to me. It says, talk to me. And then it says, let me in. And then they get possessed by that spirit. And they have 90 seconds, is it? 90 minutes?
Yeah. It's a really cool commentary on like social media culture, YouTube culture. And
yeah, it's amazing.
And what teenagers will do to get famous on these
things. It's almost like a drug.
It really is. Yeah, it was a really interesting film. The movie, I gave it like an average rating. The final shot, final scene of the movie bumped it up for me, though. Dude. How it ends. We can't give it away because you haven't seen it. You have to see it for the final shot of the movie because it kind of gives you chills.
I agree.
The final shot of the movie.
I do agree.
Brings it home.
Yes, it does. So it's good. Good. If you like into horror movies, and I know horror and Christmas, right?
it's a solid entry in the horror genre for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Let's see. What else? One other thing I want to mention, another movie that I saw. Okay. I won't talk much about this because I'm sure I'll be talking a lot about Robert Altman because I'm watching his entire filmography. I'm up to his 10th movie. And that is California Split, which I loved. This came out in 1974. It's actually on August 7th of that year. You know what else came out that year? On February, just 6 months beforehand, he directs Thieves Like Us. I'm only mentioning this because the guy was so prolific in the 70s between 1969 and 1980, an 11-year stretch. Robert Altman directs in 1969 Cold Day in the Park, 1970 MASH, 1970 Brewster McCloud, 1971 McCabe and Miss Miller, 1972 Images, 1973 The Long Goodbye, 74 Thieves Like Us, 74 California Split, 75 Nashville, 76 Buffalo Bill and the Indians, 77 Three Women, 78 A Wedding, 79 Quintet, 79 A Perfect Couple, 80 Health, in 1980 Popeye. 16 movies in 11 years.
That's
never has this happened. Wow. I mean, a Hollywood director making 16 movies in 11 years is unheard of. And several of them are masterpieces.
Respect the hassle, huh?
I mean, my God. I mean, this is the most prolific time of his whole career. But I'm trying to think, has any other director, I mean, working in the Hollywood system, done anything like this? That many movies? And I don't know. I couldn't think of it. I was really trying to figure out this week. But though this is him reuniting with Elliot Gould, who stars in this along with George Segal. I almost said Segal. Steven Segal. George Segal, who was equally fantastic. And this, I think, might be my favorite movie so far in all these movies. And that's comparing it to like McCabe and Miss Miller in The Long Goodbye, which are considered masterpieces. Really, I mean, God, I love this movie. This was a great movie about friendship. These two guys are going on a gambling spree. And I think this is kind of an overlooked movie in his filmography. So, yeah, fantastic film. I'm not going to say much more about it, but I'm having a grand time with the Altman retrospective.
Wow.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. I got to check it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Really, really good. I mean, Gould and Siegel are fantastic in this. Yeah. Ellie, anything else? I got one more to mention, but if you got one more.
I got one more, and I just watched this one too yesterday. It's The Commuter with Liam Neeson and Vera Farmiga is in there, girl, the lady from The Conjuring, and Patrick Wilson, also from The Conjuring.
I love those two. The two of them are incredible. Yeah.
Seriously, I was, what a sweet surprise to see them both together in the film, because I wasn't expecting them. And she's such a great actress, actually. I really love her. And and so basically Liam Neeson is this guy, ex-cop in New York that sells life insurance now, and he's 60 and he gets fired and he commutes for 10 years. He's been commuting in this train back and forth from work to, but this one day that he gets fired, he meets Vera, and basically it's got this game that she's like, I give you $100,000 if you can find a witness that saw somebody killing this person. And just basically, you know, Liam Neeson is action.
Yeah.
Action movies, and it's got that fighting thing. And I actually love Liam Neeson movies. I really do. I love him. And so I'll watch anything that's in, even though they seem all the same. It's because it's the same thing, kind of. But I just love that badass thing that, like, dude, you mess with Liam Neeson, you messed with the wrong person.
You may have seen this Liam Neeson movie. I wish I could remember the name, but there's like, it's gonna sound like the other ones, but like, it takes place in like in the snowy, like,
yes, way I've up seen it.
In Alaska, and he has a list of people that he has to kill.
Yes,
and this doesn't give anything away, but one of the people, one of the last bad guys to die on the list, just dies by accident by like parachuting in front of a truck and gets hit. And you're just like, what the hell was that? Like, yeah, you know what I'm talking about,
I
right?
I do know what you're talking about. I can't think of the name of the movie, but I've seen it. Yes. Because I've seen just about it. I actually auditioned to be in one of his movies with Boston Casting.
Cool.
I forget the name of the movie. Did I see it? I think I've seen it too. But I can't think of it, but I did audition, and I was supposed to play like a, housekeeper in a hotel that he was staying. But
cool.
It was really cool to audition for something that he was in, and I just love the man. I love the actor. I love what he does, and I'll watch anything that he's in, even though it seems like the same thing. But this Commuter was really suspense. It was thrilling. It had all the elements that I love in a Liam Neeson movie, and I especially was surprised to see the Conjuring couple in there.
Like, I like this. What's the one with? Have you seen the one with Liam Neeson, and it's with him and Ed Harris, and it's called like Run All Night, and Liam Neeson's son accidentally kills Ed Harris's son because Ed Harris's son is a bad scene. They're all part of this Irish crime ring in New York, and so Ed Harris is like, "I'm sorry, we've been friends for 30 years, but I have to kill you now." And Liam Neeson and his son have to, you guessed it, run all night. It's a good one. I actually enjoyed it a lot. Yeah.
I like it. I like it. Harris too. I think he can play it. I mean, a mean person.
It's a good movie. The two of them playing like tough guys. It's just perfect, you know.
I feel like I've seen it. I feel like I've
seen it. It was a while ago. It was like 2014, maybe. It's been a while.
I think it's 2015.
I remember the title. Yeah. I have fallen off catching up with the Liam Neeson movies. The last one I saw that I loved was The Gray.
I love The Gray. It was great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The best line in that movie is there's that actor who is like trying to be tough all the time. And he's like, and like Liam Neeson is like, I'm so tired of your chest puff bullshit. He's like, you're afraid and I'm afraid and you need to admit it. I don't want to get eaten by wolves and neither do you.
But I feel like it's been since then like a dozen movies that I can't tell the difference between any of them. I can't help it, but it's...
He's like, first, I'm going to get back at people on a train. Then I'm going to fight people in the subway. Then in the next one, I'm on a plane and I'm mad at them.
Okay, yeah. He does the same shit all the time. But I love that shit, okay? I think you're talking about Ice Road. The Alaska
Ice Road. Yes, that's the one.
Yeah, that's a cool movie.
It's like, I have a list of people that I'm going to kill. And in that movie, I killed them. The end. But it was good.
All right. I have one other thing I'm going to mention. I mean, I did see The Boy and the Heron, but I'm going to wait until maybe next week when B comes back and we'll get into a conversation on that.
Yeah, because I'm going to go see it on Wednesday.
Oh, cool. Because I have some mixed thoughts on it. A lot of people love it, but anyways, never mind. Hey, was anybody here a fan of the show Monk?
You know, I bet I would like that show, and so many people have watched it. I have not seen it. I mean, I have not seen the show, so alas, I cannot contribute.
Okay. Well, Amazon Prime Video released a movie called Mr. Monk's Last Case, a Monk movie, directed by Randy Zisk. Monk was one of my favorite shows of all time. And I think this is a very popular show that ran from 2002 to 2009. I watched every episode of this. Me and my wife watch this every single week. I love the show because this is goes back to the time of when TV shows were was episodic, basically, not serialized, where it's the crime of the week, it's the bad guy of the week. And Monk, kind of like in the vein of like Columbo, and kind of like the new show, like Poker Face, which I love a lot with Natasha Lyonne, she's there just to solve the crime. And it's like, oh, one more thing. And he would come into the room and like do his thing, like he's going to find, just solve it. And it would tie up nice and neat. And there was such a great cast of characters. Ted Levine is in this. And wonderful cast. And it seems to be maybe it's a one-off of this movie, but maybe it's setting it up for the series to come back. Either way, it's about a 97-minute movie, which was just really, really heartwarming seeing the show come back. It's been off the air for about 13, 14 years. I can't believe it's been that long. In that time, I've had two kids and, you know, many jobs. I'm like, I can't believe I felt like it was like off the air for like 4 or 5 years, but it's been much longer than that. But it picks up right where it left off. And the whole premise is, if anyone knows what the show is about, he is like this OCD compulsive, ex like police officer, but now he's like a private investigator that the police hired to solve murders. But he's paranoid about germs and getting sick. And of course this takes place right after COVID, and it's wonderful opportunity to take this character, you know, that's coming out of COVID, and he looks around and like everybody now is in the same paranoia that he's in. So it's a wonderful comedic opportunity.
I will marry this character because he'll match exactly how I like to have place.
Tony Shalhoub plays Monk in this, and it's the role he was born to play, really. I mean, he's been in other things. Marvelous Miss Maisel, some people know him from playing the dad in that. He's also been a good, great character actor in a lot of movies. But he's this role fits him like a glove. And it was just heartwarming just seeing him reprise this role. And I really hope that this is a show that comes back. This used to be on the USA Network. This was one of their big hits back in the day. So now it's Prime Video, this movie. So I hope this comes back as a show. I will watch this All the time. If this comes back, I love it for it to return. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot.
I think I'm going to watch Saint and Sinners this week. Yeah. With Liam Neeson.
I still want to see Godzilla minus one. I haven't seen that. I hear great things. Yeah.
I want to, that leads to something I do want to talk about. Sam, let's talk about the box office for just a minute or two. I pulled up Box Office Mojo because this is like a website that is like saved on my bookmarks all the time. Do we realize that right now we're living in a time where the number one movie in this country is The Boy and the Heron is number one, pulled in almost 13 million. Hunger Games, number two. Godzilla minus one pulled in 8.5 million. The number one movie and the number three movie are two Japanese films in this country.
Right? Dude.
I mean, these are very different times, but that sort of gives me hopes that, to me, it says that Americans are wanting to just see quality films.
Yes.
And they hear good reviews and they're willing to do that and they go see that. And it's not just like this insular box office tube. So I find that kind of like thrilling. Yeah.
But I also think millennials, it's the reason probably why, because millennials have grown up in this kind of movies and animation shows and things
anime,
like that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
I mean, is it anime? So does the name Miyazaki carry any weight with the millennials? Or is it the fact that it is this big, it's a big studio, a big release, of anime? I wonder.
I think it could be a little bit of both. I think it has to a lot to do with it. It's like a big release of anime and people like anime. Yeah. I think Godzilla Minus One, though I haven't seen it yet, is just generating buzz because it's apparently well made and is like a really good action thriller, and there's like a built-in Godzilla audience. So I think for that movie that it's snowballed by word of mouth a little bit.
Godzilla Minus One is legitimately one of the best movies I've seen all year.
See, I'm excited to see it. I didn't even know. I misunderstood. I thought it was like an anime Godzilla. I didn't know. Then I saw the trailer. I was like, wait a minute. What am I missing here?
The cartoon Godzilla coming out at some point.
There is so much Godzilla, like this multiverse. Like there's the TV show, which is connected to the legendary movies. But there is also a Netflix animated show as well. I think it's on Netflix. And then we got Toho Godzilla, and they've rebooted their Godzilla how many times? It is confusing, and I think it's hard to find an entry point into Godzilla because of this. So the fact that this movie is doing as well as it is amazing.
It's really cool.
And maybe it's because it's like maybe there's an originality to it. Someone was saying. Actually, and this it was like a year or two ago, but James Cameron was saying that only like proven IP, like big movies are doing well at the box office because smaller movies, people say, well, I want to see it, but I can just watch that in the comfort of my living room. But maybe it's the originality of it that draws them to it, because I get the sense like people went to go see Napoleon. And I get the sense it did really well. It was big in the world, but they liked it okay. But maybe these other titles seem more innovative or fresh to them.
Carlos, for example, we were gonna go see Napoleon, but then Godzilla comes up, right? And we're like, should we go see Napoleon? Should we go see Godzilla? And we end up going to see Godzilla because they're just it's the monster, right? And I wasn't up for Godzilla until I actually sat through the movie and I thought, dude, wrong again. This is a great film.
I'm excited to see it. And like speaking of box office, just because to tie it in with the box office situation, I do feel a little bit bad for something like the Marvels, because from what I hear is it's just a solid like Marvel movie. That's fine. But because it did so well, I feel like it's like popular to be like, ha ha ha, it failed. And I just feel kind of bad for it. Cause I mean, I wasn't particularly drawn to it, but I realize that Marvel is like floundering a little bit, but I just find it a little bit sort of vicious. I don't know. I like Brie Larson as an actor. And so I just, I feel bad for the movie, but there's also maybe there was no marketing. They couldn't do interviews because it was, the strike. I just feel that the only reason I'm mentioning that movie is because we're talking like box office, and like usually Marvel movies are relatively somewhat bulletproof. Even Quantumania, which wasn't great that we reviewed earlier in the year, it still had a big opening. So I guess I was surprised to see the Marvels just like, not only did it do so poorly, but like Disney has stopped reporting box office numbers. They've written it off. They're like, nah, we don't want to talk about that anymore. You know what I mean?
There's so many factors that, you know,
yeah.
I kind of went off on the whole reason why the Marvels, I think, had some issues. You know, the other problem with the Marvels is, again, here I go again. You know, it's also based, you know, one of the problems also with the Marvels, yeah, it's a sequel to the movie,
Captain Marvel,
but also you have to have so much prior information going into this.
That's right. We were discussing this.
You would have had to have watched Miss Marvel to get full impact of this. Mm-hmm. You also would had to have watched was it WandaVision or no? Is that what I'm thinking of?
I think that might be it. It's like there's too much work
the Disney Plus shows have diluted this. You now have to watch these Disney Plus shows to get the impact of this. And this movie is if you didn't watch Miss Marvel, who the heck is this girl? You
know, exactly. You
know? Exactly. It's a little exhausting.
It is WandaVision because Monica Rambeau is introduced in the MCU in WandaVision. That's right.
It doesn't feel like a must see film because like Captain Marvel was sandwiched in between the Avengers. The one before Endgame. I can't believe I should, you know, Infinity War and Endgame. So it was like, oh, this is a must see event. I actually feel that there's been a little bit of dilution of like Star Wars content on Disney Plus. But I will say happily, I'm actually really glad of this long cinematic gap after Rise of Skywalker because they're regrouping, and I won't go into it now. But some of the Star Wars titles coming theatrically 2026 and beyond, I feel like that break was needed. And to me, it's like, aha, now when a Star Wars movie comes out in the theater, it will be more of an event. And I've enjoyed the lull. Yeah. I've even been happy. I mean, I don't want things to fail, but I've been happy to see the kind of half-baked concepts disintegrate and like lose their release date. Cause it's like, no, wait, let's do this right.
Hoping that Disney learns from their mistakes where it's not going to be like all these things like Mandalorian and Ahsoka and all these things aren't like building toward a movie. It's going to still be a movie that is an event that doesn't have to have you have watched all of these Disney Plus shows. That's the key to this.
Because not everybody has the access to the Disney Channel too.
Yeah, it's exactly. There's too much. But that's a great example about the Marvels because it's like if you want to see it, it's like you have to do your homework and watch 12,000 shows. And you're like, oh, man, I can't do this.
Where do you find it time?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple other things if we want to mention. There weren't any new trailers that dropped this week. Did anybody catch the new trailer? This is not a movie thing. But I used to be an avid player of Grand Theft Auto.
Oh my God. Yes.
GTA 6 dropped their trailer a few days ago. Did anyone see it?
I saw it. I was blown away. I'm like, it looks like it's going to take place in Miami with the Everglades and alligators. And I was like, like, I can't wait. Yeah.
I
don't play it, but my son does. And I only saw the trailer because he showed it to me. And I was like, what the heck is this?
So Grand Theft Auto 3 and then Vice City was my entry point back into PlayStation gaming. I loved those games.
Oh,
I
played
those
over
and over. I lost so much of my life on those games. I haven't really been back since Vice City, but I saw this GTA 6. I'm like, I need to get back into
it. Ridiculous.
The thing that looks so good about it is it's one of those games where you can play the plot and learn about characters and get detailed, or you can just steal a car and just create mayhem in the city. Yeah. And that's, I just, the amount that you can do is just unreal. It almost looks so like photorealistic now. I almost scared of it a little bit because the violence is going to be so realistic.
That I mean, did you see my latest post on Facebook the other day? I said, I'm like, I don't know whether are we really in a simulation?
It's, I don't know. It's so intense that like now the graphics are going to be so incredible. I'm going to feel real guilt like hitting someone with a car. I'll be like, this is too realistic. This is it.
You have to take your car to a car wash or something and actually like clean it up. Like, yeah.
We're gonna come to a point in our life where we're not going to be able to to tell the difference between real life and virtual life because it's going to be so equally real.
We're almost there.
Love that it's like takes place in Miami because it's like with the Everglades and the that's what it's called. What's the gigantic swamp in Florida where there's the Everglades?
Gonna
you just know that in that game that's gonna be a huge part of the map and there's gonna be all this hidden stuff out there and it's gonna be so awesome and I can't wait.
You know, wait, 2025.
Yeah, 2025 coming up. And I will say randomly, really briefly, even though it was like 2 weeks ago, I loved the Furiosa trailer for Mad Max Furiosa. There was a debate as to whether the CG looked good or not, and I know some of it's unfinished. There was this kind of online thing saying it doesn't quite look as good as the first as Mad Max Fury Road. I disagree because it's George Miller, and I will just say simply that Mad Max Fury Road is like a nonstop action movie that takes place over like 2 to 3 days. Furiosa is a saga that I think starts with her as a young girl and goes through this big character arc. So it's a different structure of a movie, but in the hands of George Miller, I'm excited for it. So
trailer Planet of the Apes has got me.
Oh, I haven't seen that. I gotta check that out.
It did drop. That's true. That was a week ago or more. I forget. But yeah, that's coming up too. That was good.
It does look good. Yeah.
All right. So one or two more things I want to mention because we're almost at an hour here. I want to plug something before we end it because, you know, we are in the holidays here and I am a filmmaker and I made a Christmas movie almost 9 years ago.
Oh.
I did. I made a holiday movie, a sweet
like a little Hallmark one.
Hallmark holiday movie that I think that people that are fans of the movie that we're going to be actually reviewing next week. I forgot to plug it, in the intro. Well, you know, we're going to be doing Gremlins next week, Joe Dante's Gremlins. If you're a fan of Gremlins, cute little creatures causing mischief, you might like a short film that I made that is streaming for free on YouTube. It's called Scary Little Fuckers, a Christmas movie. And it is. I would love everyone to go check it out on YouTube. Maybe just go to YouTube and put that in your search term. Then you can clear your browsing history after if you want. But it's a really fun, heartwarming story about a father and son that, they have. Yeah, just go check it out.
Be surprised.
Possibly some little creatures that cause mischief.
Definitely going to watch it.
And it pays homage to the Joe Dante classic.
Yes.
So go check that out. That's what I'll say. Scary Little Fuckers, a Christmas movie streaming on YouTube. I directed this, produced this. And I have to give a shout out to Lenny Schwartz, who was the writer of this, and we've collaborated several times on many projects. But just want to mention that.
All right, we're gonna have to check it out then.
Okay, check it out.
And, my mom thinks I'm a mischievous little creature.
Yeah. And before we head out of here, a couple other releases coming up this upcoming weekend. Wonka comes out this upcoming weekend.
Yeah, I'm not interested in Wonka.
You know what?
Yeah.
I can't either. And I don't want to be like mean towards it, but I don't really care. I wish I could say that more diplomatically than that. That's how I feel.
I love the original. It's classic, but I
would see the new one if it got rave reviews. If it was like a thing, then I'd go see it, but I don't feel drawn to it.
I'm also not a fan of Timothy, so.
The buzz is not great is what I'm getting out of it. But you know what is coming out this weekend? A movie I've been waiting 23 years for. It's It's coming out on Netflix on the 15th.
Two meals for Sister Sarah.
Sorry. But it is called Chicken Run Dawn of the Nugget.
Oh, yeah.
I love Chicken Run so much. I might have seen Chicken Run more than any movie in the last, I don't know, 23 years or so. But it is, I love it so much. So that is coming out. It's been delayed a few times. It was supposed to, I think, come out this past week, and but it got pushed back a week. So it's like the stop motion, claymation animation. I'm sure it was all done digitally now, but it's.
I remember Chicken Run.
I'm looking forward to it. So
I remember
much.
Chicken Run, all right.
I don't want to be a pie. Yeah. There is a movie coming out on Apple TV Plus that I'm kind of intrigued in called The Family Plan. I don't know if anyone saw that.
Mark Wahlberg.
By the way, I backtrack for 1 second. The Chicken Run, and I'm like 3 seconds too late, but just when you say word chicken, I just think of Mila Jovovich in The Fifth Element saying, chicken! Anyway, that's it.
That's the Mark Wahlberg one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg, Michelle Moynihan.
Yeah.
This is it's an action comedy film. I hope this is not like, what was that awful thing? Ghosted? You know, whatever it was. But I don't know. But this,
right.
I don't know. But anyways, this is directed by Simon, Selin Jones, and written by David Cogshale. Basically, Dan Morgan is a seemingly normal family man, but was once the deadliest assassin in the world. When his past finally catches up with him, Dan takes his family on a road trip to Las Vegas so he can confront the man who wants him dead, all while trying to keep his old life a secret from his wife and children. This seems like a familiar plot. Like, was this like a Vin Diesel movie where he's like, was there a movie where he's like an assassin, but he's trying to be like a...
I think so. Now that you mention that.
I don't know. This could be really stupid, but... I love Mark Wahlberg when he's in a comedy.
Me too. He's funny. He's so funny.
So we'll see.
There's a movie with Jennifer Garner, how they switch places with their kids. It's on Netflix.
13 going on 30?
No, it's another one. I love Jennifer, but I've seen those type of movies so many times where the parents become the kids and the kids become the parents. It's like, oh, I don't know if I want to watch, but, you know, I forget the name of it.
It could be good. It could be horrible.
Yeah, but I'm definitely going
to. We need to add a review dog on the podcast. It's a dog that makes positive or negative movies makes positive or negative sounds based on movies it likes. So if it's like, if you mention Gremlins, it's like, roo, roo, and then it mentioned a movie it doesn't like, it's like, roo.
My dog would do that.
Okay. Sorry, guys. Yeah. I derailed the train. I can see it.
There was a Wahlberg kid in the movie the Holdovers. You know,
I didn't know.
Yeah, you know, in the scene in when he's playing the pinball machine.
Oh,
that's a Wahlberg kid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nathan, were you an extra in Outside Providence? Were you in that?
No,
okay.
No, but there was a lot of crossover with things I was working on with.
That's so cool. Yeah. I have such fond memories. That was the first time I'd ever went on a big movie set. I was completely like, whoa.
Sorry. All right. Well, I think that's enough for tonight. So, all right, everyone. Good talk.
Good talk.
Right. Good talk. All right.
Peace.
Next time.
Habla español.
Have a good night, everyone.
1998.
This is where projects come to life. Our showrooms are designed to inspire with the latest products from top brands, curated in an inviting, hands-on environment, and a team of industry experts to support your project. We'll be there to make sure everything goes as planned, from product selection to delivery coordination. At Ferguson Bath, Kitchen, and Lighting Gallery, your project is our priority.
Schedule your showroom consultation and see more from brands like Monogram at build.com/Ferguson.
This is where projects come to life. Our showrooms are designed to inspire with the latest products from top brands, curated in an inviting, hands-on environment and a team of industry experts to support your project. We'll be there to make sure everything goes as planned, from product selection to delivery coordination. At Ferguson Bath, Kitchen, and Lighting Gallery, your project is our priority.
Schedule your showroom consultation and see more from brands like Monogram at build.com/Ferguson.